Hello and welcome to 23. Today we are talking to Mikkel Salvador, our very first boy.
Woo!
Boys. We love boys. From Crocodilus, a Northern Beaches garage rock band steadily moving up and making their mark on the music scene.
We cover so many things in this interview: pressure to succeed, navigating a work-band balance, working with your mates, relationships on the road, and so, so much more. Mikkel was so generous with his insights and such a fun first male interviewee. So we really hope you enjoy this episode.
Because we did.
Yeah. And thanks, Mikkel.
Thanks, Mikkel. We love you.
Yeah. We're here. It's a Friday afternoon.
We have wine and beer.
We have wine and we have beer. And we're here with Mikkel Salvador. How are you, Mikkel? How have you been going?
I'm very well today. Thanks, ladies. I'm good.
Happy to be here.
I'm very happy to be here. Thanks.
Happy to be the first boy.
Yes. Oh, my God.
First. You're penetrating into girls club. Did you have to
couldn't
use
have said
that
it better. Word? Couldn't have said it better. Yep. I mean, why not?
Do you feel like a little special?
I do feel quite special. Yeah,
good.
I'm not gonna
you
lie.
Should feel special.
I'm here. You know, just sipping and just enjoying.
Hanging out.
Talking shit. Mm. Very important.
Very important
Yeah, no,
stuff.
I'm stoked. I'm excited.
We love it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the best first boy that we could have asked for.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? Well, the first question that Kelsey very kindly wrote for me have you always been a music guy, or did your passion start later in life? So like with music specifically, when did you like pick up your first instrument?
So with music, it was kind of like, I don't know. I remember a time when I wasn't into music. You know, I was maybe like 10. It was like from like when I was born, I guess, until I was 10. My parents were always playing music like all the time. And then I was in Spain, I remember, with my family, because we got family over there. We were visiting. And I found like my dad's, it wasn't even an iPod. It was like a Microsoft like Zune player. It was like the weirdest little thing. And it was just like, he had like really weird mix of music on there. Like I remember he had like a bit of like hip hop, like Gangstar. And then there was like sort of more, I guess, like mainstream stuff, like The Police, which I like. The Police, Bob Marley, and like Red Hot Chili Peppers were like my first bands that I started listening to. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
And then when did you turn to drums?
Well, my dad, he saw that I was like sort of getting more into music. And my uncle used to be a drummer in Venezuela. Like he was in like a band and stuff, and they played shows. And like there's like a photo of him in the 80s. It's like really cool. And he's got like the full 80s thing going on with his drum set, like at a show. And I'm like,
That's what I want to do.
Yeah. Like my dad was like, he's so much, because I'm really similar to my uncle, like, and he was like, I'm gonna like get him a drum set and see what happens. So he got me one,
and the rest is history, like, ladies.
Yeah, and
gentlemen.
I didn't touch it.
Oh, you didn't touch it.
I
am a guitar.
Yeah,
guy.
Exactly.
Thank
I was like, I'm a guitarist. Like, no. And then it just sat there for a month. And then I remember, I think my mom was like, can you play the drums? I think your dad's starting to feel bad. And I was like heavy. All right. And then we started to do like lessons together. So I'd go in for half an hour, and then my dad would go in for half an hour, and then we just started doing that.
Just a little background. We've actually known Mikkel for some years now. Our high schools were kind of connected, I guess, like just from proximity, like we kind of all mixed. So it kind of feels like we've watched the band grow from like when it first started to where it is now. And you guys have had so much success. You've toured Europe, you've toured all over Australia. I mean, I think my baby on insert clip here has got nearly 1 million streams on Spotify. Some of your songs have over 400,000, others have 300,000. Like, that's
very impressive.
That's massive. Yeah, so what was the mentality back then? Like, can you remember how you guys felt? Like, did you ever think that you would be where you are now?
No, not at all. I can't speak for the other guys, but for me, it was like, I still feel like the same as I was back then. Like, it's still not enough in a weird way. Like, I'm still like, nah. Like
got more
going.
To do.
Like yeah, like I feel like we got more to do. I feel like there's more to like more juice to squeeze from the stone, you know, like we're gonna just like keep going.
Who was the instigator of the band?
Oh, I wasn't even in the band when it started.
How rude.
Yeah, you're an add-on.
Yeah, I'm an add-on.
My
How's
God.
That? Okay, so
what
like,
a delightful add-on you ended up being, thank God.
I know, right? Yeah, I feel the same. so like
so humble too.
Sometimes, you know. You just gotta roll with it. But yeah, Josh and Steven, like, it was their band first. And then they're like, oh, we have no bass player, but I don't want to play drums, so I'll go bass and you can play drums.
Who was the bass player?
There was no bass player. It was just guitar and drums.
Oh, but then Sacco switched.
And then, yeah, all like...
Are we allowed to use names?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Hey, so, guys. Hey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Josh, Steve, what's up, guys? So, like, yeah, they would play, like, drums. Like, Josh would play drums, Steve would play guitar and sing, like, his songs. And then midway through the show, they'd swap around. Josh would play guitar and sing his songs while Stephen played drums.
I remember that.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's so funny.
I remember going to shows and being like I was a fan. Like I was a Croc fan before I was even in the band. I was like, this is really cool.
That's like what people dream of. Like, I want to be a part of that. And then you become a part of that.
Yeah,
you
know? It was really cool. And I've never been in a band before. So like while I started playing drums when I was like 13-ish, I was never in a band. Just I was just playing drums for myself. Because no one wants to be.
That's so sad, Mikael. The like, sob story comes out at the beginning just to set the mood for the rest of the interview.
Yeah, we just go straight.
Feel like, and I was a loner.
Huge, like musically anyway. Yeah, definitely.
And then you found your pack.
Yeah, and then I found my fellas, my boys.
Aww. Well, I remember back in those days, those like fresh out of high school, it was so fucking rowdy. I will never forget this one time at the Time and Tide. I don't know, it must have been like 2016 and shit was going off. Like carpets were getting ripped up, glasses were getting broken everywhere. And I remember when I think you guys got cut short, so we were all like, oh, like let's, you know, we'll just go. And then this bunch of lads just rocks up in a car. And I remember Nathan and I were outside going like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, these two, like they get out of the car and then this group starts running and it's like two groups just like clashing.
It was like a full on like Lord of the Rings battle.
And then the cops just rock up at the last minute and stop it. And then all these random people get out of like the lad car, but they punched one of our friends.
Yeah.
And we called an ambulance for him and he was just sitting on the side of the road, just like getting his head like, oh, it was crazy.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the crazier ones. It was funny because, you know, my parents live right there.
Really?
On that corner, like where we were, like sort of
really?
Where like the clash happened.
Oh, and
like,
that's right.
The cops rolled in and I look up and I see my parents in the window. I can see their silhouettes with the phone. And I was like, they called the cops. I was like, legends. Like, cause like that would have been
they
insane.
Called
like,
the I never knew that.
My parents called the cops cause they were like, cause people beforehand, like they hit a few of our friends, but they hit like more people before that. Like,
I didn't know that.
Like one of my old mates like jumped the fence to like escape from them. Like, and it was into our house. Like, and then my dad came up, he's like, you know, who are you? He had like a 9-iron or something.
Oh my
gosh.
And
he's like, no, I'm one of Mikael's friends. He was like, oh, dude, come in, you know, come in. And yeah, like brutal. Like those, yeah, it was nuts.
Those are crazy days. I feel like a lot of, I mean, I feel like I went to a lot of Croc shows in those early days where it was
chaotic.
Loose. Well, which is like the excitement of it all. Like anytime you go to a Croc show, I feel like the air is just filled with teenage angst almost. At least it was back then. And especially with all the dudes, it's kind of like that camaraderie thing where all the dudes would just get together and they'd just, there'd be so much love in the air, but it would also kind of turn a bit chaotic sometimes.
Oh, yeah. It's like rogue love.
Yeah, rogue love.
Absolutely.
It like starts in a good place and then ends
and
up
then
an
just,
absolute
just
disaster.
Off. Yeah, it goes off the deep end into just debauchery.
Yeah. But do you ever miss those days? Do you miss your friends like always being available to be around, or are you kind of glad that the people around it in the band as well has kind of matured since those like really crazy days?
Yeah.
I guess it is still kind of crazy.
It's still kind of crazy, but in a more like reserved sense, especially now. I'm honestly struggling to remember what a real show feels like.
Oh, you know,
just
COVID.
Because it's been the whole COVID thing. Like, all I can remember now, the last four shows we've done have just been like, it's been fun. Don't get me wrong. It's been great. I love playing and, you know.
It would be stressful without that level of energy, though.
Well, yeah,
like, I feel like you'd vibe. So that was the best thing about, I mean, that's what I love so much about going to see Crocs was you'd go and even if you were, like, having a rough day or, like, feeling not great, you'd get there. There'd be, the air was electric and you just get vibed up in a hot second and then you're ready and you just go for it.
Yeah.
No. So I feel like then being on stage, that's what you feed off. That's how you get, like, your kind of feeling for the show. So it'd be really difficult now.
Yeah, no, totally.
It's watching everyone sit on their ass.
You know, yeah, it's like a transfer of energy. Like you give some to them, they give some to you back and it feels really good. And sitting down shows, they're great. You still get that, but in a more sort of subdued sense.
Yeah.
It's like people are just kind of sitting and vibing and you're like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
But I miss it when, you know, people would come over and you have to dodge them like flying over the drum kit or, you know, microphones would slam down, cymbals would fall over. Like shit would be getting unplugged, you know, people playing, like trying to plug it back into the wall and like trying to keep playing. Like those old days, like playing in the sort of more crazy shows are really fun. Definitely miss those days for sure.
I would feel awkward. I don't know. That maybe it's just me. Like I would feel awkward if I had to play in front of people and they could only sit down.
I feel like your style of music kind of like instigates everybody getting wild though. So it would be interesting, you know, for like an acoustic musician or somebody that can do like a semi-acoustic set, it'd be a bit of an easier transition into the COVID world.
Was there ever, when you first started performing, because obviously you came into the band late, did you ever feel, I guess, afraid to be performing? Like, what is it? Did you ever get stage fright is what I'm trying to ask.
Yeah. I don't really remember it now because it's been a while, but I remember that whole sort of first year. When you hit milestones, that's when you sort of get the stage fright. That's when it comes back. Like, you know, say, I remember feeling the sort of same feeling playing at the Timo for the first time, you know, here in DY, like just in the grass there. That was my first show, like in 2016. And then that same feeling, I remember feeling it last year in December when we played in London, you know what I mean?
Crazy.
More than 1,000 people or whatever. Like, it's the same thing, but it's just, it's a different environment. It's like now that makes me feel that way. When before it was just like, just getting up there made me feel that way.
As you grow, it's like the next step up, it always like comes with that little bit of like
exactly stress. Yeah, that trepidation and that sort of, oh my god, like now this is scary, you know what I mean? But usually it's fine. You know, it depends. The stage fright definitely gets amplified, no pun intended, I guess. like when
boom boom ching, we need that noise.
There you go.
I'll put it in. Okay, thanks.
When it's like your headline show, like when you're sort of responsible for the night, I don't know, when you're kind of supporting, when you're the support band, it's a bit more
yeah,
we're just playing, we're chilling. Like when you're the headline band, you know, you're freaking out. Like you want everything to go so well and so smooth, and like you just want it to be the best night it can possibly be. You know, I always freak out about that sort of stuff.
It's so interesting because knowing the three of you and, you know, having been friends with you for ages now, I would never even think that thought would cross your mind. Like it's really interesting to hear you say that out loud because you guys are so chill and so fun and so like, fuck yeah, we're in Crocs. Like everyone, let's get wild. Like I would never think that you guys before going on stage would be like, okay, like I really fucking hope this goes well. I really hope that everything goes to plan and like we're all, so, like I would never even consider that being a thought process. Yeah, you're more like
definitely try to like
throw it to the wind kind of.
Totally, but that's part, I guess that's part of the
you stress and then you throw it to the wind.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you know, you're like stressing, you gotta process. And then at a point you're like, whatever. Like
when you hear of lots of bands that come up, especially from like small suburbs, there's always that kind of like rock star mentality where you hear these stories coming out like the band's drinking too much or they're taking drugs too much or yada yada yada. Have you guys ever had any of that type of experience?
Like I know there's been times where, you know,
walk the line.
Yeah, and like perhaps you'd be like, oh no, like we're too drunk. Like I've had times where, like especially in the early days when you don't really know what you're doing. Like,
yeah.
Like where you're just like, oh yeah, like I'm just here hanging out. Like and then like you get up on stage and like you know you're so drunk you can't even hold like your drumsticks properly. Like
God, do you reckon that makes for a better show though? Depends who's what.
It's the vibe, I guess. Like maybe the audience will enjoy it because it's sort of more off the cuff and like loose and stuff. But as like when you're performing it, you're like, that was sloppy. That was lame. You know, like that sucked. Like, yeah. But yeah.
I guess it depends if you're like good at being sloppy. Like I feel like there are some people that are really, they're on when they're sloppy.
100%.
Like sloppy like amplifies, no pun intended, their sound more than like, you know, if they're super tight and super on it.
Totally.
There is just like a difference in, you know, how they kind of present themselves on stage as well.
No, absolutely. Like, especially on tours where you're just doing it. And then you start to feel, you're like, you know, like I get more nervous when I go on stage sober. At least one. Like, my usual MO for every show now, like, you know, back in the old days, it was a bit of Wild West. You'd just be like, oh, I'll have 10 beers before the show. I'll have like one. Now I've got like...
and hope my eyes are still open at this point.
Yeah, seriously, hope I can still do what I came here to do and what these people are here to see me do, I guess, which is a weird thought.
Well, but Bella and I do this podcast mostly with wine, so we get it.
Yeah, you know, you go...
Yeah, and then afterwards I'm always like, what the fuck did we just say?
Yeah, what is this? what are these ramblings?
No. Yeah, so many times we've done that. We've been like, oh, rambles.
No, it sounds really like naturally, no. I was listening to some and they sound, you know, they don't sound like you guys are like...
Oh, thanks. Just us being dickheads. I am currently trying to petition Kelsey to do a drunk episode for Christmas.
No.
As all of our listeners, Christmas present from us to them. But, and us to have like a Christmas game where it's like every time I say the word fuck or I need to navigate through something or every time Kelsey like rolls her eyes at me, we have to take a shot and then just like see where we end up.
Oh, geez.
Do you not think that's the best idea
ever?
That's
going to be great.
And people can play along at home when they just like...
I'm not absolutely a fun drunk though. I'm just not a fun drunk.
Yeah, but then we just cut it off and we just edit out the bits we don't like. I'm like, see, we have control.
I'm a fun tipsy and then I have one drink too many and then I go to bed. Or I start vomiting. Like there's no in between.
There's just
I would make a horrible
musician. We can do half shots or sips.
No.
I feel like we're going to find a loophole around this and I feel like everyone's going to enjoy it. I feel like you're just going to have to suck it up, quite frankly.
Well,
you might going to have to take one for the team, Kels.
Yeah, no.
Hold on, my question's next. Don't steal my question. Okay, how do you think the Crocs sound has changed since the early years?
Oh, geez. Definitely Well, definitely, I don't know, everything just sounds better.
Like, we're just better.
We're just better. No, like the old songs are really charming and they're nice and they're, you know, they're indicative of that time or whatever. But everything just sounds like, we just, I don't know, like everything sounds nicer. We have nicer gear. We have nicer technique. We're nicer to each other. Like we mold and we like mesh better.
Is it kind of weird now that you have, like, as you said, evolved and like you're writing different music? Does it, do you just really not like even fucking with your old stuff? Because it's like, this is uncomfortable.
Certain songs get phased out just because we play them too many times and we just like write songs that we think are better and would suit the live show a little bit more, you know. I don't know if there's songs like that we hate. I think, you know, they're like your kids. Like you're yeah. fond of them in every certain which way. Like they could be like little, you know, little fuckers, but like there's some part of them that you will always like. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're like, oh, that's nice.
Well, I feel like now you guys, the song's more based off ideas or stories or like narratives. I mean, Social Climber, I feel, definitely speaks to that. Is that like a conscious choice that you guys, I guess that kind of just goes along with evolving?
Yeah. It's unconscious, but we're like different people from when we were back then, so everything's going to be different in a way and sort of more evolved or even like de-evolved, you know.
I mean, you don't have to tell me, but is Social Climber based off anyone in particular?
Yes.
Goss. Yeah.
You don't have to tell me who, because obviously that's
can you like contextualize it?
Absolutely. It's just about a person who's a social climber. When we wrote the song, we had, you know, someone in mind. It's, you know, and it's funny, some people know just because.
Yeah. Just like, from the lyrics?
Just from like knowing who we are and when we wrote the song, they're like, is it this person? We're like, yeah.
Like, I love when you have like the inside scoop on a band. Like I always found that with like buddies that were musicians or like people that like wrote songs specifically. Mm. You'd like listen to a song and you'd be like, I know exactly who you're fucking talking about right now. Like,
you had a song written about you. Remember back in Bella's Loved Up days in year 12?
Yeah, my ex-boyfriend. But yeah, he wrote a song and then like everyone was like, who's this about? And I was like, I have no idea. I have no clue.
That's a huge claim though. How good's having a song written about
it? It was like hyper depressing and he got 100% for his HSC music assignment for it because he made his music teacher cry.
Everyone wins.
I was like, welcome to me being the most amazing source of inspiration.
Yeah, there you go.
Can I put it on my resume?
I didn't need my ego to get any bigger, but
here it is, you know, here we are.
Like an asshole. Social climbing, we all reflect on it as being like a really negative action for people to undertake.
Yeah, but I feel like some people do it unconsciously. What pisses me off about people that social climb is when they tread on the heads of other people to get to where they want to be.
That's the thing. You know, when you're climbing up the social ladder, you know, you're stepping on people.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the ladder's made out of.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, in like a weird metaphorical way. Like,
definitely.
You know, it's like, and just this person just did it in a negative way. You know, like, you can be like just naturally charming and cool and you'll just climb
you'll get there
anyway. Yeah. Like, it, you know, if, but you know, when it's like a conscious thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Being strategic.
Yeah.
That's like, when it like, it feels so and it's just motivated.
Yeah. Like it's not genuine and it's not anything real or concrete and that's lame. You know, I don't know. Like that's not that cool.
Okay. So obviously this is just like a classic question and this is just like a classic being in your early 20s question. But when you finish school and you do your HSC or you do whatever you do and your parents and your friends have ideas about what you should be doing next, i.e. everyone let's go to uni because it's like the only option, actually get away from me. Did you ever get any pushback from people in your life when you said you wanted to pursue music in a professional context?
No, which is cool. Yeah.
Damn, can I be adopted?
I consider myself like really fortunate. My parents were kind of just like, you know, do what makes you happy, man. And I was just like, oh, wow, that's great. Like, you know, so I don't feel any pressure from them. You know, they're just like, as long as you stay on top of your thing, it's all good. And I'm like, cool.
I feel like as well, because your dad was so incorporated it from the get-go, he'd have probably just been like, something that I did made this.
Oh, yeah,
and now I'm like, I was a participant in this journey and now I get to see him like thrive from something that we enjoyed together.
They're both like really stoked, which is really cool. Like it's yeah.
Do you ever get that question from other people though? Because I know that I definitely get that. Like even doing a uni degree, having a relatively good job in a job climate that's an absolute shit show and then people being like, so you're going to get a proper job?
I'm like, yeah, there's like all
I'm
this
actually
thing.
Not.
Yeah, no.
Thanks.
There's like all this like sort of hassle about a proper job. Like, you know, people sort of view like heaps of jobs as just like in between jobs. Like, so what are you going to do after? Maybe, you know, something a bit more like, I don't know. I get a lot of pushback mentally from me, because it's like a societal thing I feel, and it puts pressure on, you know, an individual. You know, I'm like, man, I never want to work full time again in my whole life.
Yeah, like, that's exactly how I feel.
I did it for a bit, and then I was like, this sucks. I don't want to do this. It's literally ruining my life. And then everyone's like, you're just lazy. You know, you're just lazy. And I'm like, no, I just want to live a certain way. Like,
I just don't want to feed the machine.
Yeah, like, I just want to do it my way. And if that's like considered lazy or whatever, then that's fine. Don't talk to me.
How do you counteract that in your own head? Do you have like a strategy when people say that to you? Or you just kind of like,
no,
water off a duck's back, just let it go.
Yeah. I don't know. You just got to stay like as present as possible, like, which is super tough right now.
That would be so hard.
Everything you're looking forward to, you're looking forward to. You know what I mean? Like, you're looking forward to something. That's already like not being in the present and not being like grounded, which is really tough.
I feel like you'd feel that so much more being a musician out of it, like every other kind of
industry. Yeah. It's because you're always looking forward to something. Like, it's like, all right, we're looking forward to this tour. We got to plan that. And then the tour after that, like, you know, we have our manager comes up with us in meetings and is like, look, I've planned out your whole next 2 years. And it's just like this like thing. Obviously it's loose, but like there's general sort of like, you know, timeline things, like, you know, write the album, put out the album, tour the album, tour again, write the album, you know, and it's just like all this sort of stuff that's like lined up already. And you're like, just like, whew, you know, like this is a lot.
Like, I don't even know what I'm having for dinner tonight, let alone what I'm going to be doing in 18 months.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like that part of my life, like I know what I'm going to do. Everything else, yeah, it's just the Wild West. I'm just like, I don't know what's going on.
Just going to ride this wave.
How did you get 100%. So wise? I feel like it would be really easy to get caught up in like the excitement of being in a band that's like, you know, doing relatively well, like especially in this climate. Like, how did you get so?
I feel like it's a problem for me personally. Like,
we're like here adoring it, and you're like, no, it's a problem.
like it's a problem in a way. Like what you guys are saying is like the right way. Like, but I maybe take the wrong approach to it. Like, I just go, no, I'm not good enough. Like, we need to do better. We need to do bigger. We need to do more. Like, nothing is like, it is satisfying, but it's not. And that's something I need to work on myself, is being like, oh, no. Like, be proud of what you've done. Be proud of what you've done and, like, look forward to, like, accomplishing more stuff, like setting goals and doing all that. But nothing, like, you know, even like the really big things, I'm just like, no.
I feel like we all have that being in our early 20s. Like, I feel like, you know, even... like we don't appreciate the small wins on the level that we should, and we don't like acknowledge our own, you know, meeting our own goals and all of those kind of things, and we just let them slide. And it's like, that's fucking life. Like, we should be enjoying them, like appreciating ourselves and acknowledging, you know, what we've done and our wins should be like just as crucial as like focusing on what's coming next as well. But it takes so much time to learn and to like train your brain to think that way, because it's so easy to get caught in the rat wheel.
Yeah.
The rat race.
Rat race. Yeah.
The rat race.
Rat wheel.
Rat wheel.
Rat wheel.
Rat wheel. It's either rat wheel or rat wheel.
Let's go with between. Rat
wheel. So how do you guys as a team like navigate disagreements and opinions?
That one's tough. It's really hard. Like, it's super hard. Because sometimes, you know, say like, you know, someone comes up with something, someone has an idea, someone's really attached to a certain outcome, but maybe, you know, you're not feeling that, or, you know, and you're like, you have to tell them in a way. And it's really hard because it's like, you know, you work on these things, like, and they're your things, you know, like they came from you and you like feel an attachment to them. And then when someone says, maybe not, needs a bit of work, or nah, just flat out no, you know, then that can be like hurtful. But you gotta stop yourself from reacting and just kind of, all right, can work on it, or we can like, that's cool, like what should we do instead? But that's really hard to do, you know.
Like, it literally is like open communication from the get-go is critical.
It's critical because like, yeah, people like get upset and feelings get hurt, but it's also, it comes from a place of just like, we all care. We
you all care want the so same much thing.
So it's like, of course we're gonna get, you know, heated, of course we're gonna get angry, like, because we just want what we think is best. And like, that's sort of when you communicate what you think is best, you know, and you sort of, and they tell you, and then that way you can get an idea of what you're doing.
Yeah. I think as well, like keeping in mind always that, I mean, Kelsey and I definitely have this when we talk about the podcast and what we've done right and what we've done wrong, what we'd like to change or however that comes about, is that we have the same outcomes. Like, we're striving for the same outcome. We want this to be good. We're not going to put out something that's shit. So like, as long as you keep that in mind in your communications, that this might not be exactly the direction that we want to go, however, like, we're on the right track at this kind of stage, so let's like evolve it more and like let's be collaborative and ensure that we're all meeting the outcome that we all are striving to meet.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, if you're on the same page, you know, it's going to go better.
Yeah. Craziest memories you've had from touring. I feel like I've heard some of these stories and some of them are a little rogue. So I'm excited to see like what comes to mind when I ask this question.
Jesus, craziest memories.
I want like accidentally passing out on a bridge in Amsterdam with a hooker lying on top of you style. So if you could bring me one of them, that would be optimal.
It was interesting because when we were over there, it was pretty funny because, you know, we sometimes didn't get a lot of chances to sort of, you know, stay in the cities overnight. We'd be in the tour bus, you know, you rock up to this.
Did venue. You have a bus?
Yeah, we had a bus.
Bro, it was outrageous. Dude, yeah, that's like when you made it. Sorry, like, I just got really excited for you.
Yeah, me too. Like, it's like the best thing ever. Anyway, like, you know, you're on the bus, you kind of get to a spot. Like, I don't know if we're going to talk about that later, but that's something I should stress. Like, when you're like a touring musician, oh my God, one of the most boring things ever. Because for like 23 hours out of the day.
That's very on brand for us too. 23. Thanks.
There you go. 23.
Snap, snap, snap. Let's go.
23 hours of the day. You're just waiting.
Yeah.
You're literally just waiting to do.
Did we do lots of Sudoku? What did we do to fill our time?
We did. It's funny. The two of us had like, we had a lot of stuff to sort of keep us busy. I was, you know, we all were like sort of either reading books or watching, you know, stuff on our little devices or whatever. And the two of us had like an Xbox and stuff. So we'd like play Xbox or whatever. And
being also, a boy is like a dream in a two of us. Cause you're like, so you just like, just get this right. Like I can sit here for 23 hours and just play Xbox. Like, is that part of the deal? You're like, yeah, that's part of the deal.
You're like amazing.
Well, my dreams are coming true.
Yeah. No, like it was. It's just like so boring though. Like all you do is like, even here and like anyway, like when you're playing a show, the wait is outrageous. Like you just wait all day, play the show for what, half an hour, maybe an hour if you're lucky. And then
back to waiting
for the next one the next day. And it's all just like a build up. Like it's always just like a constant build up to that 1 hour of the day.
Your blood pressure would just be terrible.
Oh, and like that's also the thing. Touring is not the healthiest lifestyle. Like you're not.
Here we go. Now we're getting to the juicy parts. Keep going.
You're not eating well. You're not sleeping well. You're doing a lot of excessive things. You know,
I love this PC-ness that you...
Were you in a relationship at the time?
No. Okay, this is what I was going to say. This is where like the sort of crazy stories come in. Like, so... Sorry, see, I get off track on these questions.
Here we go. No, because I got excited about the tour bus. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I just get so off track.
I can derail things at the best of times. Jesus Christ.
No,
okay,
likewise. So like everyone was in a relationship except for me and Steven. We were the only two out of the party of like, what, there was like nine of us or something that were...
Recipe like, for disaster.
So we were like good to go. But so it was really funny, you know, we'd like, you'd play the show. Then like afterwards, if we had time, because sometimes it'd be like, we're playing the show and then we like pack, you know, the bus up, we pack the trailer up, we take everything down and then we're driving through the night to the next place. So sometimes we wouldn't get a chance to sort of hang out and vibe out or whatever, but sometimes we did. So
and
like
the times we did. Your face is saying right now, like, and the times you did, wouldn't you like to know? Like, that's what I'm getting from the facial expression.
It was really funny because it was just like a bunch of like us, you know, and it was just, and it was all banter, like, you know, egging each other on, like, you know.
But did you have groupies?
It's okay, so this is the funniest thing. So no one knew who we were over there, obviously. Like, no one gives a shit. Like, and I remember, you know, one night, Pricey from the chats comes down. He's like, all right, let's go, guys. Like, let's go out there and, you know, get you some girls or whatever, you know. And we're just like, okay, like, whatever.
Sure. Did they say it like that or did they say it way more intensely than that?
They're 20.
That was bad.
No, I was going to say something way more rogue than that.
They're young lads. They're 20. Like, they're young. And they were like, it's crazy. That's like their full-time job, just playing music. So they're just like, all right, let's go, you know, let's go get it. So like we went off into the spot, like as soon as they come out, everyone's just like, phew.
Yeah.
And then they were like, this is my friend, Mikkel. This is my friend, Steven, you know, and then he just like lets us loose. That's the thing like with like touring, like it's always like, you know, if we're talking about hooking up and things like that and like meeting people on the road, it's always like with a time limit, you know.
Yeah.
It's always like, you got to be somewhere later. I don't know how.
Like you're leaving the next day.
Yeah, like I don't know how juicy we can get, but you know, it was pretty much like,
we can try.
I was given a time limit. I was literally like, we're leaving at 3 a.m.
Is that not a boy's dream, side note? Is that not like, cool, so yeah, I've got like 6 hours to like go rogue and then I'm going to just
leave.
You know what? Skedaddle. I don't know. I don't know if it's my style.
Oh.
But
yeah, you never
stroked me.
You've never striked me as the type of guy that's like, I don't want to. Fuck, I mean, off. That was the best. You've never stroked me. Thank God.
Now I'm blushing. Sorry. I'm blushing too for you because that was so wonderful. You never.
It's all right.
Sorry. Stop.
I remember one time
we made Kelsey blush.
One time, to make you feel better, one time in school I was reading something out in front of like a lot of people and it was a word that started with B and I just said breasts like so loud and then someone goes, "That's not breasts, Mikkel," and I was just like, "Oh my god." No. Anyway, that one was pretty, that was like in front of like 200 people. Like that was bad.
Ooh, and it happens to the best of
everyone
us.
Everyone was laughing. Anyway, I'm given a time limit. They're like, "All right, go." And I was just like, and she's like, "I live up the road." And I was like, amazing.
Easy. Bye.
Anyway, I'm coming back. It's like 2:45. And I'm like running down the road. And then I see it. Where were we? Nottingham. I think we're in Nottingham. And it was just like.
Oh, yes. Nottingham.
Yeah. Like in December. Like it's winter. It's cold as shit. You know, I'm wearing thermals. She made fun of me for wearing thermals.
Did you say that you were Australian? Did she know?
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She knew.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have a band called Crocodilus and no one not know that true. You're Australian.
But like if you're Australian, of course you're wearing thermals. Yeah. It is freezing over there.
It's freezing. It was like, you know, 3 degrees or something. Anyway, you know, I was like walking down the street, kind of like half jogging, half running, just like, and then I see like these group of people being led by this one man, right? And he's walking on the other side of the street and he has like a deodorant can with a lighter and is spraying like a jet of flame in front of all these people and they're walking like sort of single file up the road. And this guy's just solemnly walking. You know, he's got the thing, got just spraying fire all over the place. I'm just like, I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like, this dude's gonna like kill me, man. And then anyway, he just kind of walks by. At the end, they sort of look at me and just keep walking. This dude was just flaming. I guess what? He was just trying to stay warm. I don't know what they were doing. Like, I don't know what they were doing. They were just like, this is like an arc of flame just coming out, like, you know, projecting. And anyway, got back to a group of like,
and everyone's like
taken
what?
Dudes, you know, that are just like, you know, they're like, what happened? Yeah. And then, you know, and they just go, and they're just like, yeah. You know, they come and do, you know.
I saw a guy with a flamethrower.
Yeah, I was just like, dude, like, I just saw a dude like flaming people. Like, no, I didn't say that. There's been some actually really funny ones here.
Ooh,
in Australia.
Do tell.
Where that's more on the like the sort of gross side. Well, not really.
We're here for gross. Well, I definitely am. I'm just going to
speak for myself. Okay, so we got banned from this place in Melbourne called the Grace Darling.
Why?
Because
I've heard of that place.
It wasn't us. Yeah, no, it's a good spot. It wasn't us.
Not like you'll know now.
Yeah. So we were touring with Ruminators and Rosa Maria, who like, they're like Northern Beaches band sort of too. And we were down there and then they all like, I think Rosemary had gotten like tattoos. So they had like heaps of cling wrap on them and they cling wrap the toilets and they're like unisex toilets, right? And I guess this girl goes in to like do a poo or whatever.
Oh no.
And there's cling wrap. And obviously like she made a mess, you know? And then they thought it was us or something like that. And then like, we were like, oh my God. Anyway, we all like, and then there was also like, and like an amyl spilling incident. Like,
oh,
and
no.
Like the band room where the stage is, it's like kind of small. So the whole place just reeked of it was like, you know. Anyway, we got banned. We all got banned from that spot. But then we came back a few years later. We played it this year, earlier in February, when we were allowed to play shows, and it was great. It was fine.
I'd never thought, you know, I've seen the cling wrap gag before, and I never had considered it with a number two.
Yeah,
I'd only ever considered it with a number one. Surely, number two is a literal shit show.
I have to say, though. Surely you would have noticed. Like when you sit on a toilet.
No, I mean, have you seen them when they do it properly?
Public toilets.
See-through. And if you're drunk,
yeah.
Bro,
yeah,
the amount of times that like you've had like four drinks and you're like, I'm just going to stumble in here.
Well, okay, guys, we're getting off track once
again. Sorry, we're getting very excited. Yeah.
So how do you navigate being in a relationship now that you're in a band?
Yeah, I've yet to find out. I was in like a sort of relationship a few years ago.
A sort of relationship.
Like it was like, you know, it was really wishy-washy, you know.
A situationship is what they call
these days. I like that. It was a situationship. You know, it was a bit pretty loose and it was like open. Sometimes it was exclusive. It was a mess. Anyway, and that was fine. Like it was just kind of like, oh yeah. But like maybe an exclusive monogamous relationship could be different. I don't know yet.
Mm. I'm excited to see. We'll check in with you. We should do like a recap in a year and be like, anyway, just sitting here crying. You're like, it's a nightmare.
I mean, I've heard like, you know, speaking to other people that it's really tough to sort of stay, I don't know, like focused or to stay like, I don't know, to not.
Into it.
Because it's like, I don't know, it's, I liken it, I don't know if it's like, if this is like a weird example, but I liken it a lot to like being like a bartender or like working in like a hostel. Like you see so many people come in and it's in like a sort of weird environment where it's not like a shop, you know, you work in a shop and you're just kind of like, good day, sir, madam, how are you? Like, you know, but like if you're in a bar, you know, like serving drinks, or if you're in a hostel, like sort of same thing. And if you're in a band, like you go on a show, it's like you're talking to a lot of people, like, you know, I don't know.
I feel
like situations just present themselves and things just happen and you're just like, okay, like But being in a relationship, like, you know, you kind of have to sit a lot of that stuff out, you know, because a lot of it's not appropriate for a monogamous relationship.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like the level of connection that you're having in the situation that you're in, which is like what you're saying. It's like if you're in a store or you're like sitting behind a computer all day, like you're not going to be having these like really fun, intense, energetic connections with people. As soon as you are behind a bar or on a stage, like that level of energy, the level of, dare I say, vibe goes up. And so like you're communicating and connecting with somebody on a level that you wouldn't normally otherwise in a professional context. So like there is that, And like I think as well, this leads into my next question because I remembered the next question, is that like being in a band as well, there's lots of, you know, I feel like there's like an expectation for people to, I don't know, connect with their audience afterwards, for lack of a better way to say it, obviously.
People are expecting you to be a manhole pretty much.
Yeah.
They are. They are.
I was trying to be super nice and you just fucked it.
No, go for it.
Yeah, so like.
They are. Like people in bands are like, yeah, you must be a sleazebag. You must be, you know.
Because you have the opportunity to be a sleazebag. You have like a free pass to be a sleazebag. Obviously, now that you're seeing someone, it's obviously different. But do you ever use the band as clout to get in with the ladies, or have you like seen it within the band?
Look, I think everyone's lying. Like if they say no, I don't know. Yeah. Like I definitely don't use it all the time. But you know, if people go like, oh, you know, what do? You know, you're like, I can't lie. Like,
yeah.
This is like what I do. I don't know.
I'm just a musician,
I'm
man.
I'm just a musician, dude. Like, you know, I'm just doing this thing. Like, yeah, it's interesting in that way. Like, even, you know, people like, they like see you playing, you know, and like I've had people come up to me.
And they
like,
fall in love with you.
Well, like, I saw you play. You're so cool, you know. And then, yeah, like, that's how you sort of meet them, like, because they saw you somewhere.
Last but not least, seeing as you're you, where do you think you'll be in the future, and where do you think the band will fit into your future plans?
I mean,
don't say anything shit because your friends, your bandmates, you're like, actually, I'm meant to be quitting in like a month.
definitely, you know, want it to just elevate it and just like, just run it, just see how far we can get it. You know, like it's already been like, it's already exceeded my. All of our expectations, you know, like collectively and individually, like just like what we've done is already so cool. And I'd just be like, if it ended tomorrow, I'd be like, sweet. Like that'd be sick. But I think we can still get more out of it, and not in like a scraping of the barrel way. I think like we've literally just scraped the top. You know what I mean? Like we've just sort of peeled back one little layer. I feel like we have a lot more to sort of get through and like produce and like just, to do. Yeah. Like we have so much more to do and like to experience and to like sort of share with people.
And I want VIP tickets to a concert. So, you guys are just going to need to get to that level.
No, like, you need to be the groupie.
When we have the lanyards.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, when we have, like, the all access.
Yeah. Yes, I want an all access.
Yeah.
That sounds so dirty. I want a lanyard.
Gross.
The AAA, the access all areas. That's the one you want.
Is that seriously what it's called?
Yeah, you get the pass and it says AAA, access all areas.
Oh,
that's, like,
God.
What you get. And you're like, I'm cool. Like,
that's what I want.
Yeah, cool. No. We'll do that.
We're ready. Kelsey's coming with me.
Duh.
And we bring Nudges along, obviously, for support and to get us drinks when we don't want to leave our seats.
Nudges has the first Croc shirt ever, by the way.
He does. Yeah. He does. He wears all the... You know that permanent marker has still stayed in the shirt.
That's outrageous, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of faded, but it's still there. You can fully see the Croc.
The first Croc shirt.
The Croc
ever.
Outline.
The OG fans. That's going to be so sick when you guys, like, get to, like, a really large...
Yeah, I mean,
stage and area, and then we all get to come.
COVID pending, though.
Yeah, if you know, that's the thing. Like, one thing we didn't really touch on, sort of. I mean, we touched on COVID, but you know, it's hard to feel like the band's even operating right now because of just how stripped back everything is. You know, like we literally can't do the thing we want to do most, which is play. Like that's the funnest part of it all.
Yeah,
and we can't do that. So. Right now, it feels like we're in limbo a bit, but we're like doing stuff on the back end. You know, we're writing and getting stuff ready. And in terms of your last question, you know, about where I see it personally, like in the future, like definitely a big part of my life. But I do want to see if I can branch out. You know, I kind of view it as like a spokes on a bike. You know, you've got the band's one spoke. This is another. Blah 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 blah. You know, but
your analogies today are just wonderful.
I stole that one. That's actually from my father.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. He always says that one. Yeah, but like a main one, obviously like a thick spoke, but still just like another one that I'm sort of doing. Like, you know, I definitely want to do other things. Definitely want to branch out and write more music that's maybe slightly different.
And play banjo.
And play banjo. Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah, yeah.
Let's just do a little like round the whole full circle situation.
That's it,
let's just, in now I'm just like imagining you being like a country music star, and it's just sitting really well in my head.
Yeah, why not? Like, yeah, I definitely just like want to keep making music, and I don't know, just yeah. We always joke about, you know, Josh is like, why don't we just get on the doll
and then just do
music full time? And I was like, yeah, like, but nah.
Never wanted to have a full time job. So
yeah, but we're like, nah, we just want to get to the point. I think that's our collective goal, is we would just want to get it to the point where it's self-sufficient, and that is like how we make our living or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we can focus on doing other things as well, you know.
Well, if there's some kind of light at the end of the tunnel, they are expecting to have vaccines for at least the first 5 million people in March next year. So, Mikkel, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you for being so generous with your time and being our first male guest on the show.
Very exciting. Yeah, love having male guests, but I don't want to tarnish your name, so we probably won't have one forever again.
Yeah, no, just keep it exclusive. The one male. Look, I can come back and talk about other stuff.
That's what we want.
But yeah, no, thanks for having me.
When you're a banjo star. So
I'll come back here.
I'll
regale you with some banjo songs. Then we'll do the whole thing in singing. Like, we'll do the whole thing in rhyme.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah. Bella can do her one riff on the banjo.
That's all we need.
And then you can take over and Kelsey and I can sing.
Maybe
we like that.
We like that. Okay. Thanks, Mikkel.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Bye.
Your ledge.
Your ledge. Terrible.
Thanks. Okay.